When I first came back here, and that's been a lot of years now ago, one of the first things I think I said to probably this church, and I said also at the Wheatland Church when I was pastoring there, one of the things that I had in mind when I came back was I did not come back here to hurt people. I came back here to help people. And that's still my goal, is to help people and not to hurt people. There's enough hurt in the world to go around for everyone, and certainly we as God's children should not be hurting other people. Usually, I try the last message of the year to kind of get people in the mode of thinking about the past year. And I made a mistake a few times in saying, how many of you here accomplished the goals that you set out to accomplish at the beginning of the year? And I kind of like to go goals rather than resolutions, because sometimes people set goals and everybody kind of sat and looked at me. And I said, well, I'm not sure what that's saying, whether you didn't accomplish them, or maybe some of you did accomplish yours because you didn't set any. And that's one way you can always accomplish your goals, if you just don't set any to begin with. And then I usually try to, at the beginning of the year, to challenge the church and people to think about the next year. I kiddingly said to someone not long ago, we were talking, and I said, you know, I hear these people who are talking to me now about 5 and 10 year warranties on different things that you buy, and I keep saying to them, you know, I'm not very excited or very worried about a 10 year warranty at my age. Why, I'm not even sure I'm going to be here to see that out. But I don't know. I don't know when that time is going to be. But I like that last song, the last verse of it. And then one day, I'll cross the river. I'm going to do it one of these days. And that's going to be a good time for me. I know that. I know that more as I get older, that time is going to come. And whether it's in this next year or not, I have no idea. I take a little encouragement from the word of the Lord. Moses didn't even get his call to begin until he was 80 years old. So I'm kind of looking for my call. Saying in the next year here, I'm going to hit that number, and maybe the Lord's got some work for me to do. I hope that's the case. I want to, for a little while this morning, use some scripture that I think each one of us can probably get some benefit from. I hope you can. It's the words of the Apostle Paul as he was writing to the church in Philippi. And he said this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." I want to spend a little time this morning in talking and encouraging each one of you that we look ahead and that we look up. We Baptists are typically a people who like to look back. We're always thinking about how it used to be and how good it was back in the old days and how good we had it back when. And I can appreciate that probably as much as any of you, that obviously each of us do have some good memories. And we have some times that the Lord truly blessed us beyond measure. And we should be thankful for those times. And we should not forget that every good and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is neither variableness nor shadow of turning. But we also have a tendency to start remembering all the negative and all of the bad things. And when we do that, we have then a further tendency to not do what Joyce had mentioned, and that is to look out and to see where maybe we can be doing something for someone else. The Apostle Paul said, I am going to do this one thing. I'm going to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Paul, on different occasions, talked about running a race. And obviously, he was familiar with what all was involved in that. And every single one of us here this morning are involved in running a race, whether we like to think so or not. It is important that we remember that we keep our focus on the goal, where we're going. I tell from time to time, and probably one of the most rewarding experiences that we can have as God's children, and one that will be coming up again this year, is to be able to participate as volunteers in the Special Olympics. And I say that because of past experience again. It says, as I watched, and I never forget, the first time that I watched some of these people run in a race, one of them fell down. Out on the track, they fell down, and the others went by, but they got a little ways, they stopped. And they turned around, and they came back to the person who had fallen down, and helped them up. Helped them up and made sure they were okay. And then they all took off again, just as hard as they could go. But I thought it was so neat, and I was so impressed that they weren't so selfish as to think that the only thing I've got to do is get to that finish line, because there was someone in a number who had fallen down. Did they know? Probably not. These people were from all over the state of Missouri. They might have, but the chances are that they didn't know that person other than that they were a competitor. But at some point in time, their competition stopped and humanity stepped in. They became human beings and they cared. Sometimes we get so involved in ourselves that we forget there are many other people that need help. We forget that things are not nearly as bad for us as we might think they are. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. And he had a lot of things that he needed to forget. Now, to forget them did not mean that they'd just been blotted out of his mind, but he had been able to overcome many obstacles. And one of the first ones that he had to overcome, if you turn over into the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, you'll find where it says that at when Paul first acknowledged his call into the ministry, And said, when Saul was come to Jerusalem, Paul, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. So one of the first things was, after that the Apostle Paul had been saved and he'd told how that God had laid his hand upon him to declare the gospel, the church in Jerusalem was very skeptical and they were afraid of him. He had quite a reputation before, and so certainly he had to overcome many of the things which probably most of us have never had to worry about. But let me assure you this morning that it was not easy. He said, as he wrote to the young preacher Timothy in his writing unto him, now, I promised that I wasn't going to start flipping back and forth in all the pages, but sometimes I think probably it's important that I read to you. He said, at my first answer, no man stood with me. Now, I want you to think about this. This is one of the most powerful preachers that's probably ever lived upon the face of the earth. One of the most prolific writers that we have in the Word of the Lord. Is a man who at one point in time experienced what it was to be alone and not to have anyone stand with him and be supportive of him as he declared the word of the Lord. But Paul said, I have to forget some of those things because I have a goal. I have a vision out there of where I want to go. And I cannot spend all of my time reflecting on the past and thinking about how mistreated I was by all my fellow brethren. There are too many times that we are hypocritical today. There are many times whenever that we are not forgiving of one another. There are times whenever that rather than being able to say, I forgive you, I understand, because we are human, that we make mistakes, we want to just hang on and hold on. I tell every once in a while, and I mentioned the church in Santa Paula earlier, and I'd been there for 25 years, I guess. And in 25 years, I'd constantly heard about what was going on between our church and the Nyland Church. That was a little church over across the way there. And there was always this dissension. Now, we went through the mockery of being sister churches, and we'd have services together and everything. See, I can talk about these things. You all don't know about them. You don't know the people and anything, so I can tell you about them. Now, I could probably talk about the same thing right here in Hickory County and give you exactly the same situations, and you'd be very uncomfortable with that. So I can leave you out there, and you're okay with it. But I've got a point that I want to make. Finally, after so many years, I finally sat down with the members of the church. I said, tell me exactly what caused this rift between the two churches. What is this? You know, I mean, I've heard this all the years I've been here. Well, this and that. You know, and finally, you know, when I got down to it, I said, specifically, tell me what is the problem? And specifically, they didn't know, excepting that's what they had always heard for 25, 30 years. And so, because they had heard that, they believed that. I finally said, you know what we need to do? We need to just set up a meeting with that church and go over and sit down with them, or them come over and sit down with us, and let's get this thing resolved. Because they probably are exactly like you all are. They don't even know what this is all about. But it's gone on for years and years and years. And it's ridiculous. We're being hypocritical about it. We have people today who allow things to go on and they fester and they continue to plague them. And they don't have a clue as to exactly what is causing the problem. Excepting they just want to keep it concocted up in their minds. And they want to continue to allow that to fester. Sometimes we need to understand what the scripture says when it says, if we are not willing to forgive one another, we need not expect God's going to forgive us. Oh, we don't want that. We don't want to hear that. We want God to forgive us. And oh yeah, Lord's going to forgive me. Well, he says in his word, is that mine here or is it the one down here? I don't know what we're... I believe it's that one. He says in his word that if we are not willing to forgive one another, we need not expect him to forgive us. Paul had to be able to overcome the fact that at his first, he said, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may be not be laid to their charge. Think about that. He said, there wasn't anybody who stood with me. But I pray that the Lord won't hold them accountable for that. Now that takes a lot of the grace of God for us to be able to pray. I spent a couple of years, tough years, of having to learn what it means to say whenever that the Bible speaks about pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you. I had to do that. And let me tell you something. If you think for one second that's easy, I hope you're never in that situation. I just truly do. But don't you ever for a second think that's easy. It's easy to say. Oh, I can say that just as easy as can be. And I can say, you know, that we need to be able to be forgiving. And you're all going to sit there and say, amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, yeah, we got to be forgiving. But I'm going to ask you this morning, are you forgiving? Are you forgiving? Paul said, well, my first response, nobody stood with me. I was alone. I only remember one time of standing and preaching with everything there was about me, and by the time I finished, I felt like I probably did not have a soul in that entire congregation who was supportive of what I had just preached. And I didn't preach it because I wanted to. I preached it because God laid it on my heart. And as I usually do in the service, I said, let's have a psalm. And I'll never forget, and it's always been important to me since, as the song was being sung, I looked, and down the aisle came Shirley. I thought, oh Lord, what in the world's going on now? And she just came up and stood beside me and held my hand. Never said a word. Didn't have to say a word. That was all I needed. But I knew that I was not completely alone. Well, I knew I was not completely alone because I knew the Lord was with me. But let me tell you something. Sometimes we need more than just the Lord. We need other people. We need our brothers and sisters in Christ. We sometimes need to be able, as Joyce mentioned earlier, to reach out and to touch people, to hold their hand, to give them a word of encouragement, whatever the case may be. And sometimes it's nothing more than to just let you know they're there. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. Now listen, he wasn't through writing here to the young preacher. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work, and will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the Apostle Paul who's writing and said, there are some things that we need to forget. There are some things. Now listen, you think for a second that this old boy didn't know what he was talking about. Listen to what he said. He said, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Here's this powerful preacher. He said, forgetting those things which are behind, I press onward, upward, to the mark of the high calling. I've got my mind on the goal. I'm pressing. I'm putting everything into it I have. I watch the runners as they run in the races. I just saw recently where we're getting ready to see the Winter Olympics again here in a couple of months. It doesn't seem possible. It just seems like we just watched the summer ones. But if you ever watch those people, sometimes it's nothing more than just how far forward they can lean when they hit the finish line. But they're leaning with everything they've got, and some of them fall across. But they've given it everything they've got. There's nothing mediocre about them. They have trained, they've worked hard, some of them for years, to get to that few seconds in their life to reach that goal. I wonder how many of us, as a child of God, have spent our lives in training and still are not focused on the right goal. We're focused on everything else. We want to be successful. We want to be wealthy. We want to be healthy. We want to be all of the things that everybody else is, but we forget the most important thing that we have is to serve the Lord. Paul said, thrice I was beaten with rods, once was I stoned, thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day I've spent in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watching often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. Who is weak, and I am not weak? Who is offended, and I am not? If I must needs glory, I will glory of the things which concern mine infirmities. The God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which is blessed forevermore, knoweth that I lie not. In Damascus, the governor under Artaxerxes, the king, kept the city of Damascus with a garrison desirous to apprehend me. And through a window in a basket was I let down by the wall and escaped his hands. You think this old boy didn't have a lot of things to remember? He said, forgetting those things which are behind, forget them. Oh, I'll tell you what. Too many times, we as God's children feel like that we've been mistreated, and because of that, that gives us license to quit, to give up. I want you to listen to one more. Paul, still writing to Timothy, said this. He said, Alexander the coppersmith. He said, I want you to know who I'm talking about. I'm not just going to talk to you in general terms. I'm going to call him by name. Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. Yeah, he did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Oh, I know that most of us as good old hard solid Baptists love to be able to talk about forgiveness and how wonderful it is that God forgives us. But you just let us get in a little bit of a tight bind with somebody else and we want to revert from the dispensation of grace to the dispensation of law. Now some of you might be thinking, now what in the world does he mean by that? Well, we want to forget about to forgive. You know, one of the disciples said to the Lord one time, he said, how many times shall my brother offend me and I forgive him? Because the Lord said, you know, you forgive him. And one of the disciples said, well, how many times do I have to do that? Seven times? Seven times? No, no, the Lord said, you forgive him 70 times seven. That's a lot of times. We don't want dispensation of grace right then whenever it's us that gets offended or we get hurt. We want law. Eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. You did me, I'll do you. That's what we wanted to revert back to. Oh, some of you thought, oh, I don't believe it. Well, listen, let me tell you why. After all my years of preaching, I've seen that more times than I've seen the dispensation of grace work with people. Now, finally, when the Lord puts enough pressure on, they'll come around. But listen, Paul said, I want you to understand that forgetting those things which are behind. And folks, sometimes we just need to move on. We need to do that as a church. We, this last year, spent a good portion of our time remembering 165 years. But I really wonder how much of that time we spent in saying 165 years that other people contributed, sacrificed, gave, that we have the privilege of being here today versus having us a look where we're at today. We've got the wrong goal out there. We've got our eye on the wrong direction. Instead of look what we are, we need to be able to say, look where we want to go, what we want to do, where we want to be. And when we get our eye on the mark, and we get our eye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are determined that nothing is going to cause us to deviate from that. You watch the runners. I'll guarantee you, they don't look to see who's coming from behind. If they do, they lose. They don't spend their time looking around. I'm talking about the dashers now. If you're running the mile or something, yeah, you're going to maybe look every once in a while. Maybe you can look at the monitor. But if you're running the 100-yard dash, or why they don't even call them yards anymore, they go to meters. And I'm too old to keep track of which is what. But let me tell you something. They're focused. And they're set on one thing, and that's hitting that finish line. And they're not looking to see, where's the other guy coming on me? They're given everything they've got. And when they finish, they'll know they've done the very best they can. They run with everything there is in. Now, Paul wrote, and he said this, only one is going to win the prize. Only one. But let every one of us run as though we're going to be the one. We, everyone, need to do that.